This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We have a giveaway to tell you about.
Where's it for, Tiff?
I don't even know if I want to read it because you guys are obnoxious and egregious with your use of the word.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Talladega.
Talladega!
So I will tell you when to call in to try to win a family four-pack of tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs in Talladega.
Talladega, baby!
Sunday, October 6th at Talladega Super Speedway.
Talladega
Super Speedway, baby.
A pair times two. And it's also, no, I guess it's not. It's one times two winners. Because there will be two winners for this. So I'll let you know when to call in to try to win those four pack of tickets to go see the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs in Talladega. Okay.
Talladega,
baby.
We will get you to the Braves now with a really big win. 5-1 against the Mets in game one of the three-game set, which came last night. And we said this feels like the playoffs. John Smoltz was on with us yesterday. He said that was basically going to be a game seven, and the Braves showed up like it was, especially Spencer Schwellenbach, who hasn't even ever seen a game seven before.
Schwelly. Right?
Yeah, it was. Well, he hasn't seen the game seven.
I don't know if he's. I don't know. Has he ever even seen September baseball? I mean, like, you know, like.
I don't know. When do they play in college?
We're talking MLB.
I know. This
That's his background. He hasn't played. Yeah, he's a rookie, Tiff. So, I don't know that he's ever even played baseball in September, for that matter.
I'm going to tell you something. He's seen some of the best lineups in baseball recently, and he's mowed through them. I mean, he dominated the Dodgers. He's been really good against the Phillies, second time against the Mets, and was really good again against them. I mean, he went out there and threw another seven innings, gave up a couple of hits, three to be exact, four Ks, a walk. He did give up the one home run in the seventh inning, but this is a guy that only threw, I think he only threw 87 pitches and 62 of them were strikes. He was dominant again. And they said he throws strikes and he knows how to do it. He knows how to locate.
The president again.
Again.
Impressive. Here's Snit on Schwellenbach.
Just a great job again. You know, just, I mean, he's kind of getting like one of those guys that's not going to surprise me ever. And the situation and how he handles himself. The game doesn't speed up on him. He's probably more pissed that he didn't make a couple of those plays than anything. But no, Steph was really good again today. He didn't use his split hardly at all.
Let me say that as calm and cool and collected as Snit usually always sounds, and he, of course, sounded just like that there. Schwellenbach embodies that when he's out there on the mound.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And honestly, if you just look at the box score, guys, that this game seems so much more lopsided than it ended up being. And you get the 5-1 victory like we talked about. But you look up and down the Braves lineup, and we talked about Michael Harris earlier, three hits, two runs scored. Albies gets a hit. Ozuna gets a hit. Matt Olson gets a hit. Soler gets a hit. And then you look over at the box score, it was Vientos with two, Iglesias with one, and then I think Little Acuna, like Bo was calling him earlier, gets one. So it's just a lopsided game last night, and kudos to everybody, honestly, involved with the Braves organization. The defense they played, Michael Harris making the plays in center field, the way they kind of hit the base pass and took over, and situational hitting. You and I, Bo, I think we were racing at the time. Ozzie Albies hits a ball to the right side of the infield and moves runners over and gets the run home. It's just It's that kind of situational stuff that needs to pick up at the end of September when you have these must-win games, and it absolutely did last night.
Yeah, and it was even a moment, too, where Ozuna goes grounds. Ozzie's on second, and Ozuna grounds out, but he moved Ozzie to third.
Yep.
I don't think they – I can't remember if they got another run in at that point or not, but it was just that type of urgency, the way they approached at each plate appearance for these guys, where they were doing everything they could to make sure that they either played small their version of small ball or try to work counts to get hits. Because Severino wasn't bad early, but they got to him. And it's just this was one of those wins where you see and you're like, that's more of the team that I expected. It's just not necessarily all of the guys you expected to be doing it.
So you guys kind of called this rivalry week in Atlanta. Braves, Mets, Falcons, Saints. This weekend on Sunday. So the battle in the trenches is key in every game, Mike. Don't you just love to hear that? And so both sides, though, in this matchup, taking some hits to their offensive line. And so for the Falcons, we saw in this game that we just had on Sunday Night Football, Drew Dahlman, a key part of that offensive line, he's going to miss some time after some tests showed that he is a high left ankle sprain. So this is according to Mark Raimondi of ESPN and Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. So that's some bad news there. He was placed on injured reserve on Tuesday. And then Caleb McGarry, the latest on him, who also went down in the game, he left in the second quarter due to a knee injury. So Coach Raheem Morris said he'd have information about both injuries later on this week.
And I think Ryan Neuzel is going to be a huge kind of key for Atlanta this week to be able to get it done. And Drew Dahlman's kind of one of the linemen that's probably, honestly, least talked about. And it's for a lot of good reasons, if we're being honest. Lindstrom, obviously, very good. Jake Matthews been here a long time. We talked about Caleb McGarry in week one. Bergeron's kind of the younger guy. Drew Dahlman just a lot of times seems like the lost guy in the middle. It was very interesting, too, Bo, and you go back and watch the All-22 and watching the Chiefs' defensive line, right? And there was a four-down defensive line situation. And I had to remind myself the Neuzel's in the game. And what happened is the Chiefs did three defensive linemen left of the center's nose. And I was like, man, that's interesting. Why? Like, it seems like they're setting up for some kind of stunt up front. And then it hit me that they flipped the nose guard from where he was earlier in the game because Neuzel's left-handed. Like, they flipped the nose guard to his snap hand to try to attack his snap hand. I thought that was really interesting and something that I'll be looking out for this weekend. So I think that Storm Norton has got some upside at right tackle in terms of what Caleb McGarry brings you and what he doesn't. Do not get it misconstrued. Caleb McGarry is a dominant run blocker. Right, a lot of people, the T.J. Watt game, and you got to help him in pass pro. He is here, and he's on a second contract because in the run game, he is absolutely a lawnmower, right? When you look at Dahlman, however, and the drop-off to Ryan Neuzel, I think it's a little bit further than what the drop-off is to Caleb McGarry because I think McGarry's got his strengths, and I think he's got his weaknesses, and I think Storm Norton's got strengths and weaknesses, so it kind of cancels each other out. Neuzel is going to have to put his big boy pads on this weekend, though. And not only that, you'll see a situation, Bo, where you got Brandon Parker probably active, Kyle Hinton still in the mix, and maybe Javon Gwynn even being active as that third center, and we saw him play in the preseason.
I don't think he will. You know who I think is going to be active? I think there's going to be a standard practice squad evaluation
for Matt
Hennessy.
You think they're going to go straight off the street?
I do.
Matthew Hennessy.
I do.
Wow.
I would be – I'm gonna tell you something. I think Javon Gwynn had his tryout for center in Miami in the first preseason game, and I didn't think it went very well. And I think that they probably they trust Hennessy. Remember this this regime was here when they drafted Matt Hennessy. Okay, when I say regime, Raheem Morris was here. So I could see that. I do agree with you about Drew Dahlman. I think he's the bigger loss, and mainly because that's kind of the way it appeared last week against the Chiefs. However, Caleb McGarry is your better option at right tackle between him and Storm Norton. We all agree on that?
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay. Cam Jordan.
The upside of McGarry in the run game is way more than the upside of Storm Norton in the passing game.
But I think that Caleb McGarry is better at pass pro than Storm Norton, whether if it's just a slight little bit or not. The fact of the matter is Cam Jordan has had his way at times with Caleb McGarry. I don't feel good about him having his way with Storm Norton, who he also knows because Storm did play in New Orleans.
So let's flip now to the Saints and their offensive line. Some woes for them as well. And this news was that center Eric McCoy, he is going to have groin surgery possibly sometime this week. And this is a significant loss, as Coach Dennis Allen said. Nobody wants to see a Pro Bowl center go down. So they lost him in the game on Sunday. And then they also had another kind of scare there with Cesar Ruiz, who took an exit out of the game after an injury, but then he came back. So we'll see how it plays out this weekend. But they're going to have to shuffle around some guys on the line with McCoy now being unavailable.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And Eric McCoy, I've been a massive fan of his since he was in college, since he played at Texas A&M. Man, good player, gritty dude, captain of that team. And they absolutely, Bo, we watched it. They felt the loss of him this past weekend, man. He is, well, whatever you think about the loss of McGarry and Dahlman, the loss of McCoy is what those are probably put together for New Orleans,
well,
up front.
I think it's worse for them because of the way who their backup center is. Because their backup center is Lucas Patrick, who's also their starting left guard. So he moves the center, and then you pull who I have in some and is listed as a kind of a swing tackle, and Ole Odo, he's moving over to left guard. So Odo moves to left guard. Patrick moves to center. To me, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. I don't necessarily like that that's your option because now you've weakened two positions.
Yeah, we don't know that it will be. I mean, they could be completely reshuffled. They could have somebody else that they're going to elevate that they like better in those roles. So,
but
we'll
Lucas Patrick is listed as their backup center.
Yeah, I cannot imagine what happened to his groin. You just don't hear of offensive linemen getting groin surgery 3 weeks into the season that often. So that's just such a tough blow for them.
Well, let's leave the confines of Atlanta and bounce around the NFL. Who's going to be QB1 in Pittsburgh? And what does former Falcons coach Dan Quinn think his quarterback needs to do to get away from the pass up in D.C.? We're going in the huddle next. Stay with us on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Game. We are going in the huddle.
In the
huddle.
To
give you the latest. I almost forgot what the title of the segment was, even though I think it was just said. I do want to tell you, though, that we do have Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, a host of the Best Football Show podcast. He's going to be joining us in our 8 o'clock hour so we can get all things happening around the league and probably get his take on these Falcons and Saints.
Yeah, the injuries, the O-line injuries, are going to be good to talk to him about.
I'm sure he's going to love to talk about
that. Also want to let people know, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll have Scott Cochran, former strength coach at Alabama, former special teams coordinator at Georgia. Nobody knows the ins and the outs of those two programs like Scott Cochran, so that'll be a fun conversation too.
He's kind of got used to scare me. No, seriously. When
he's going, yeah.
Well, it's like, go to the field! Funeral! And I'm like,
you gonna ask him about that?
Go oh, hell yeah, I'm gonna ask him about that.
All right, back to the NFL. What's going on in Pittsburgh? Well, this despite preparing for quarterback Justin Fields to start a fourth consecutive game, they are going to be facing the Colts this weekend. Mike Tomlin is still not determining or naming him as the starter going forward with Russell Wilson. Take a listen.
Because there's no need. I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow.
All right, there's no need.
Can I tell you something?
There's no need.
I'm glad John Smoltz and Mike Tomlin have different thought processes, because I know that I can ask John Smoltz a hypothetical, but if you're a media member in Pittsburgh, you cannot ask Mike Tomlin about a hypothetical.
Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
Well, thank you, Coach.
First of all, stop, because one of them is an acting NFL head coach. The other one is an analyst that is paid to answer those questions.
Well, I'm not upset with Mike Tomlin. I used to tell my wife all the time. Amy always asks.
I'm not upset with you.
She'll say, Amy's like, hey, what if this happened? I don't do hypotheticals. And now Mike Tomlin.
Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
Let me ask you guys this then. What's the point then? I shouldn't even say what's the point. But is there some sort of, I don't know, strategery? Or is there some sort of coaching element to not telling?
Is that a word?
I'm pretty sure that's a George Bush word.
Now,
I think I made it up.
All Tiffany needed to do now is now watch me hit this drive.
I think I did make that up. It's strategize, strategic.
I don't know. It's a good word to me.
I totally made that up.
Let's add it to the dictionary.
Man, don't come at me.
I say, yes, there is some strategery to this, because here's the deal. Russell Wilson's not healthy fully yet, enough that they're comfortable with, right? And at this point, why rush it if he was? Secondly, Justin Fields has done nothing to lose his job. In fact, he's done everything to win the job, because you have, to me, one of the two best defenses or three best defenses in the league. And you go with that and say, hey, you know what? Justin Fields is playing within the system. He's not turning the ball over at any alarming rate like he did early in his career or in his Chicago days. And you're winning football games. But think about it this way. If Justin does start to struggle and you start losing, and then Russell Wilson suddenly becomes healthy, you can make a switch and say, no, it's not a benching. Russell Wilson was always the starting quarterback. He's now fully healthy. And so you don't play that game in the media, and you don't have to play that game, honestly, with your team, even though your team is probably going to be a little bit smarter now.
Let me add another layer onto that. You don't have to play that game with other teams calling you, i.e. the Miami Dolphins, who are in a little bit of a quarterback pickle themselves. Do you want to be putting it out there that this guy's our backup or this guy's our starter or what that depth chart looks like or what their health is? I think he's smart to just kind of punt this thing.
Because there's no need.
That's right, Coach.
Things kind of fall out.
I will say this. I think Justin Fields, if that was the case, to your point, Mike, and team started calling, I think he's done it to show that if you have the right thing around him where he's not pressing at all. He is playing completely within not only the system, but everything he needs to do. I think, you know, you look at, he's not taking sacks at an alarming rate. He's not fumbling at an alarming rate like he has in his play. He's doing everything needed to win games. He's protecting the football. So it's all working. Why change anything?
So Jaden Fields, another top draft pick, was pretty much perfect in his performance on Monday Night Football for the Commanders against Cincinnati, against those Bengals. And so this has left people up in D.C. probably salivating over that kind of quarterback play. Maybe it has you thinking we're seeing the light at the end of a really long tunnel, but not so fast. You don't want that talk to kind of impact your quarterback. And so Coach Dan Quinn, he said, I definitely understand our fan base has been waiting for the franchise QB, and I also don't want Jaden feeling any ghost, making sure he understands there's only one name on the back of that jersey, and that's for him.
Yeah, don't worry about what's happened in the past. Jaden Daniels had probably the best rookie quarterback outing performance, whatever you want to call it, in NFL history, quite possibly, on Monday night.
He was good, dude.
It's just, he's elite. It's just
Jaden Fields is elite.
And look,
you know what? You cannot.
I wasn't gonna do it
for the second time. I can see you. Just if I'm gonna mess up, just let me mess up and get through it. Because when you didn't. You can't hide your facial expressions. And so I'm still reading, and I'm struggling to read.
Well,
I'm like, what did I say wrong?
As the name,
because I see Mike's face and I see you guys giggling behind the glass. You know what? I'm glad I'm leaving today.
Whoa! You know what? I had your back as a resident name butcher.
I wanted to say Jaden Fields.
I didn't say a word to you because he started laughing at me in the last segment when I tried to say Ole Odo's name or Odu. It's Odu. Yeah. I mean, why do you? Why do you have an H on the end?
I'd rather you just call me out than making a puzzled expression.
Because you just said, let me go.
No,
but if you want me to stop you in the moment,
so now what do you want?
If you're going to let me go, don't hold your facial expressions in.
I tried.
But if you're going to, if you can't hold it in, just be like, Tiffany, what the heck did you just say?
To your point, Bo, Justin Daniels is he's elite. He's elite, you know, throwing the ball down the field, and at least he showed that on Monday night.
Now, do you think he's better than Michael Williams in Chicago, who's kind of struggled?
You know what? I'm done with all of you.
Who are you seeing this weekend? Gardner?
Joel Embiid.
Gardner Lawrence?
Gardner Lawrence. Yeah.
You would play.
But hey, you never know.
You know what?
You never know. Max Stafford might start in Jacksonville.
I'm out of here.
We're going on to
trying to make a super quarterback over here.
San Francisco.
Imagine if Jaden Daniels had Justin Fields' size and elite running ability. Because, I mean, Jaden Daniels can run, too.
That's what I was
doing. But with his ability in the pocket.
I was trying to give everyone out there
player.
Some insight into what's to come in the future.
You're treating it like Madden, aren't you?
Of the league. Maybe if you took both of those players to Germany like Christian McCaffrey is, they could put together some sort of sorcery to combine all their skill sets. Christian McCaffrey is seeing a specialist in Germany. This, as we know, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries there. And Kyle Shanahan... we talked about Christian McCaffrey. His MRI was clean. So he's been dealing with the, it was like a calf kind of strain, Achilles strain.
Yeah, Achilles issue, tendonitis, all the above.
So he's seeing a specialist in Germany about that ongoing Achilles tendonitis tissue.
Yeah, which was originally, to your point, a calf strain, which we all thought, no big deal. This is where I want to see the NFL hold the Niners' feet to the fire the way they did the Falcons last year with Bijan Robinson. Because remember when Bijan Robinson had the headache game and whatever it was? And now, Christian McCaffrey was a game-time decision on Monday night. Remember, guys? He was scratched like that afternoon. And there was nothing on the injury report, to my remembering, until Friday. And he would even ask... Jordan Mason, when did you know you were starting? He said Friday, and then he had to come back and retract it because it never even showed up on the injury report until Sunday.
Yeah.
And then remember the Falcons had a big fine. Arthur Smith had a fine. We had an organizational fine.
Keep the same energy. It was headache gate.
Yeah.
Bijan got one carry in that game, which was interesting to me because it was like the most important carry of the game. But
my point is that what happened? How did this get? If this was nothing, and now it's really bad. It's so bad that you're having to go to another country to get it evaluated to maybe get back on the playing field.
I am interested, too, and you know, we kind of talked about this off air, the PRP that sometimes is done over in Europe. I don't know if either one of y'all have ever had a PRP shot.
Not. Is it painful?
Oh, my goodness. Let me just tell you.
Right,
I had one. Patellar tendonitis in the knee. They just said, PRP! Went up and saw Dr. James Andrews in Birmingham. And let me just tell you something. When they slide that needle into that patellar tendon, dear God, that is not fun.
They don't numb you up first.
I don't remember them doing
that. Maybe you can't. I don't
know, man. It's not good though. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, it's not good. My brain or reading comprehension skills today, but good thing for you is that this hour is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean, and now we have a Chris Johnson mic'd up.
Yes, we do. And Tiff, I got good news. It's Which One Wednesday. So since your brain is functioning at such a high level, this is going to be enjoyable for
everybody. I started off strong today.
Yeah,
you did. This is another thing I get to beat you at.
All right, how about this one? Teasing going to break. Which one's more important to their team success this weekend? Bijan Robinson or Alvin Kamara? It's Which One Wednesday. Coming up on the other side, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Which One Wednesday. It's both of these people's favorite segments sitting in this room right now where they square off against each other in a debate-style format, and my man Dylon behind the glass puts the final judgment out as to which one of them won the debate.
Game.
I know you don't.
I don't like being forced to play games.
Well, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's a game. All right, here we go. All right, so obviously a lot of things going on in Atlanta this weekend. We just called it rivalry week. Got the Braves-Mets. You got the Falcons and you got the Saints. You got Bama and Georgia squaring off this weekend. Reminder, we will have Scott Cochran coming up in about 15 minutes. Talk about Bama and Georgia and those two programs. But let's start there. Big game situations. Big game situations, which you will probably see Saturday night. Just give me one of the name or the other. Would you rather have Jalen Milroe or Carson Beck? Jalen Milroe or Carson Beck? Big game situations. Which one of these quarterbacks are you taking? Bo, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Carson Beck. And I'm a huge Jalen Milroe fan. Everybody knows. I think Jalen Milroe might be my probably one of my favorite players in college football right now. But Carson Beck, to me, is it. This dude's motivated. He's smart. He's a processor. He can complete. He can make every throw in the football field, the ones across the middle, the ones deep, the ones short. But he can also buy time with his legs, not just to run, but to throw as well. I think he is a complete player. To me, he's the number one quarterback prospect for this upcoming class.
Mm. Tiff, door's wide open. What
I'm
do you
going
think?
With How's Carson the door open? Because not only is he closing deals on the field, he's closing them off the field as well.
Tell us more.
His latest NIL deal is with Chipotle.
Oh.
And sometimes when I don't feel like cooking and when I want what could be a healthy-ish meal, I go to Chipotle. And so I like that Carson Beck now has an NIL deal which has boosted his value to $1.9 million, all because now he just partnered with Chipotle. And I bet he's probably going to take care of his teammates. He's going to feed that offensive line. Maybe the barbacoa. Maybe, I don't know, the possibilities are endless when it comes to creating your own goals.
Might be doing
goals.
The meal prep hack. That's, you never know.
That's you know? A good, so I'm that's going with Carson Beck.
It's a good pull. I would tell
you
the
can't add more.
Hold on, I would tell the judges to go Google Hannah Cavender, and
Walk
only one of these quarterbacks
extra.
Is dating her.
Walk is not extra when you have 1.9 million. All right,
he's
a friend of the money. He's like everyone gets guac. Everyone on this team gets guacamole.
You don't need it with Hannah Cavender.
I love
in
that
in his Lambo.
When she said off field, I was like, oh, here we go. Now, how about this one?
I thought that's where she was going.
I did too. Let's go with this one. We teased this going into the break. Which one is more important to their team's success this weekend? Is it Bijan Robinson or Alvin Kamara? Is it Bijan Robinson or Alvin Kamara that'll be more important to their team's success this weekend? Tiff, we'll start with you.
No. Okay. Bijan is very important to this Falcons offense. They also still have a number of other weapons, too. So I'm going to say for the Saints and the game that what Kamara came off of with the Cowboys, I know they had the loss to the Eagles, but, I mean, he ran them up.
Yes, he did.
On the Cowboys.
Yes,
he really
he did.
So I feel like they are going to be more reliant on his ability to try to get the job done, where the Falcons could go to Drake London. You could go to Kyle Pitts. Bijan is going to shoulder the load, but you have maybe more options.
I love that. What do you think, Bo Stradamus? What do you think?
Well, I would remind you that Chris Olave plays for the Saints, and so does so does Rashid Shaheed.
That's neither here nor there. How many catches has Rashid Shaheed had last week?
This is my argument.
Because we had him in our fantasy lineup, and he had 0 points.
So you guys, am I just not allowed to talk in my moment, or what? Like, is that how this is going to work?
Just don't politic.
I would remind you that those guys play, and they are big-time threats, but I agree with you because this is not Alvin Kamara we have seen as of late. This is the Alvin Kamara of his rookie year when the Saints offense was lethal. He is a complete difference maker for that team. When he's rolling, they are rolling. And he did not have his best game last week, and he still played pretty well. He is their heartbeat right now. And with a banged up offensive line, you're going to need him to step up, especially as an outlet.
All right, how about this one? We've talked a lot on here about how Tiff takes care of vehicles, cars. We cataloged the tire usage, the bow incident.
Right,
but we also had to talk about her treatment of her sister's suitcase the other day. All right. So are you better off lending Tiff a suitcase or a car? Are you better off lending Tiff a suitcase or a car? Which one's more likely to come back damaged? Tiff, we'll start with you.
The car will not come back damaged. I'm a good driver. I may have
no scuffs on the rim.
There's maybe a scuff or two. Curbs are just obstacles. All right. So, so your car will come back in one piece because I take care of other people's things. The suitcase does not count because it was not technically in my care. It was in some person working check bags.
Fair enough.
You know.
Fair enough. Bo, are you better off lending Tiff a suitcase or a car?
Suitcase, a lot cheaper to replace.
Yeah.
And your insurance doesn't go up.
Go away.
All right, how about this one? Saturday's game, and I mentioned we're going to have Scott Cochran at the top of the hour. For which team is this game actually bigger? For which team is this game actually a bigger deal? Is it bigger for Bama under Kalen DeBoer, or is it bigger for Kirby Smart in Georgia because of the ghost of Bama past when it comes to that program?
It's bigger for Kalen DeBoer.
You think so?
This is his
debut. Does she get to go first every time these days, or what?
Have I?
Just asking.
You want
to go? I got told to shut up when I was talking earlier, too. It's just crazy.
If he loses today, just watch what the reaction will be. I am saying this is bigger for Kalen DeBoer. It's his first game up against Georgia, who, by the way, up until this season, I guess, has been the number one team in all the land, right?
Yes.
And they still are a really good football team. So I think this is a huge test for an Alabama team that's mostly still intact from them defeating Georgia in the SEC championship game last year. You still got your quarterback. This is a bigger game for Kalen DeBoer.
What do you think, Bo? Bigger game for Georgia or Bama this weekend?
It's a bigger game for Kirby. Georgia's got a tougher schedule. Not to mention, Kirby Smart is going to let some Pac-12 coach come into the SEC.
Here comes the soapbox.
And win his first, am I not mistaken, it would be his first SEC win.
Yeah.
Would be against Kirby Smart, who I was told, and I do believe this, but I was also told when Saban retired, Kirby Smart runs the SEC now. It's Kirby's conference. And you're going to let some newcoming punk from the Pac-12, from the Pacific Northwest, come in here and beat you in the SEC at a place where you were the greatest defensive coordinator they ever had? I don't think so. This game means everything to Kirby Smart.
Can I have one more dial on? Real quick, you guys got 10 seconds each. Woo! If you had to pick right now, because I think, it is a tight competition. If you had to pick right now, are you taking Bama and Georgia for the Natty or the field? Bama and Georgia for the Natty or the field in college football? Bo, we'll start with you.
The field, because right now I think Texas is the best team in college football right now as today stands.
That's where I was going to go. But, yes, I would take the field over this. Not saying anything negative about these two teams. I would definitely pick Georgia if I was going to pick anybody. I don't know if I would pick.
But he just told you could pick anybody.
I know, but I'm saying.
And you picked the field.
I picked the field, but I'm just saying. I'm going to pick the field.
Didn't he say Georgia and she picked the field?
Look, I'm confused. The field. I don't care. I found that Chipotle stuff out of thin air. So
you got me so hungry. I'm thinking about some burrito bowl.
Just like the Falcons were this close to beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Tiff, you were this close to beating Bo. I wanted to give it to you so bad,
it's
too.
It's okay.
I wanted to give it to you so bad.
Look, when he starts yelling, I know that it seeps into your brain.
It's always that last question that gets you, Tiff.
But he had some good – his Alvin Kamara was a good point. Like, he sells his stuff.
He's politicking.
You did a great job selling today too. You sold me on a couple of things.
Kind of, but I feel I'm more of like, you know.
It was like this. It was like it started.
Does he get
up
the questions ahead of time?
Kind of. Because
I feel like
down.
Sometimes I'm just winging it. I wing everything.
I can assure you that I winged every one of those.
He wung them.
I just have passion.
Anyhow, that's mic'd
you
up.
Passion.
Thanks for playing, guys.
Strategize how I do things.
Strategery.
Know what? All right. Since we just talked about Georgia and Alabama, only fitting that we have on our next guest, Coach Scott Cochran, who is a former assistant for both teams. How big is this, and is it a rivalry game? We'll discuss with him when we come back at the top of the hour on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm not good at this stuff, so, I own it.